Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is the final of our 2019-2020 preseason shows. We are, as we record, this is just under 15 hours away from the start of the basketball season.
I can't take it anymore.
Yes,
when are we going to get games?
In 15 hours, we're going to be able to see Maryville play Middle Tennessee.
We've got Central Arkansas Baylor.
Okay.
We'll have blind resumes later.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up hopped here by David Griggs and John Titel. Right below me from bracketeer.org, we have Rocco Miller. On sides of him, we've got John Stalica and Matt Sikowski back for us, with us for the first time in a while. This is our preseason bracketology show. What I have done is taken the results of, you know, some of my personal predictions, basically from all the various other preseason shows we've done, gone ahead and created a bracket based out of that. And I'm going to be revealing that bracket of what I personally think the field is going to look like at the when the selection committee comes out.
So in other words, what you're about to see is nothing at all what the actual selection committee's bracket is going to look like.
Pretty much, David, but I asked for yours, and you just had Kansas versus Missouri in the first round. So.
I think that that's correct. Did you have an issue with that? Do we need to pull the blind resumes up?
David, we're not doing blind resumes. This is our preseason show. There are no resumes yet. What I'm going to do, though, is pull up for the first time this season, and we'll see a lot of these more as we go through the season, is, and it should be on the screen there right now, a blank bracket. Is it there?
All right. Yeah, it is.
All right. And what we're going to do here basically is I'm going to go through, at least for the first 16 teams, one at a time, have a little discussion about what we think that we'll see from these teams during the course of the season, and let you guys also tell me if you think I'm crazy about these predictions. But I'll start with my number one team overall heading into the season.
Okay.
Huge surprise here.
Get out of here! You are insane!
Rocco, how about Michigan State, number one overall?
How about Michigan State? I think that's the easy pick. You follow the polls, you follow the hype, and Cassius Winston, you know, like we talked about on the Big Ten show. I mean, there's a lot to love about the Spartans. My only gripe here is I did some research on this earlier this morning, and in the last 5 years, only one Big Ten team's actually gotten a number one seed, and that was the 2015 Wisconsin Badgers. So in the last 4 years, no Big Ten team's gotten a number one seed. And nobody's gotten to the top line. I didn't go back far enough to figure out how long that's been. So I think Michigan State inherently might have some challenges. Obviously, they've got a great schedule. Langford getting hurt till January hurts their chances to land here by March. But going into the year, they're a safe number one.
Number two, probably also not a big surprise. Matt, how about bringing you in here? Kentucky, number two overall.
Yes, I like them. Now, interestingly enough, and I was looking at things personally, I think there's a decent chance two SEC teams end up on the number one line.
Okay. Well, yeah. We've got Michigan State and Kentucky. David, where do we go for now?
Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting because I have a pretty good guess who your next two teams are going to be.
And, well, today, I just thought, David, that you might want me to have Kentucky over Michigan State. You know, we may need to go to a blind resume on that.
A blind resume, yes. You know, when you look at what's happened so far, here we have – it's tough. It's very, very close. It's extremely close.
There you go. Blind resumes. That's what each team has done so far. But now, in all seriousness, though, let's go to the number three overall team. And Titel, let me bring you in here. I've got Kansas number three overall, and so far, right along with the polls, I believe.
I think that's a good pick. I think that playing in Omaha will be very helpful to the Jayhawks. I think that they have a lot of off-court concerns this year, but if everybody stays healthy and is as good as advertised on the court, I think this is a great pick.
Right. And Stalica, number four overall, also probably not a surprise, or maybe it is. I forget how I did. Oh, actually, I do surprise you a little bit here. I'm not going with the number four overall team. I'm going a little different in the ACC here.
I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert. We are going to be giving our final four teams later, and you just unveiled one of mine, so it wouldn't be too much.
I unveiled more than one of yours, but go ahead.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be too much of a stretch to have Louisville on this line, given that in some circles they're going to have the preseason ACC player of the year, and they should have a much improved team in Chris Mack's second year, but I guess the only thing that's going to be potentially – hovering over Louisville this year is the cloud of a potential NCAA investigation, and how much longer will they be able to be eligible for the postseason before they start paying for the sins of the past?
Yeah, I like these picks, Chad, and I mean, it's kind of hard to ignore that here the night before the regular season, Michigan State and Kentucky playing each other tomorrow. And what's interesting is that it's a high reward, low risk game. The winner of that game has what may end up being the best out of conference win that they manage all year, a top four caliber team on a neutral floor. You know, that's going to be a big deal. So right away, not even 24 hours from now, and you know how many 4.5 months before Selection Sunday, we have a game that is very important to the one line taking place already. Two, actually, if you look at Kansas playing Duke, Louisville not playing a team of that caliber. I think they open at Miami, Florida, but you know, to land on the one line, they do play Kentucky this year. Do they play Michigan State? I forget who they got in the Big Ten. I know that they played them last year. But, like, I mean, they're playing a lot of the teams that we're going to be talking about on these top two lines. So I think it's going to sort itself out because a lot of the teams that I think we're going to see on this next line are all going to be playing each other at some point.
Right, and you already mentioned Duke. I just showed my number five overall team there in the East region is, of course, Duke. And I think we got to take a quick moment here to talk about this doubleheader that is coming up on opening night here. Rocco, I mean, Michigan State versus Kentucky, 1-2 in the AP poll, 3-4 in the AP poll, Kansas, Duke. By the rankings, at least, this is better than a Final Four. You don't get that good.
Yeah, this is a power rankings man's dream tomorrow. So it should be great matchups. I tend to lean towards for tomorrow, just with Michigan State's injury, I think Kentucky's got a good shot to knock them off. We'll see how that goes. As far as the Kansas matchup, I think Kansas is pretty loaded this year. I'm putting them as my number one overall team, so I'll take Kansas to win their matchup over Duke. But I think that'll be a great game, of course.
Yeah, and I mean, just a heck of a start to the season, actually, because on top of that, the ACC is starting off with conference play with every team other than Duke, who's busy playing somebody called Kansas. Starts the season with a conference game as well. So that's seven games between Tuesday and Wednesday nights. So getting right into things here with the season, a few other games, including, I think, Wisconsin. So they have St. Mary's coming up here. Few other good, really good games in opening days. But Matt, let me go back to you here and go
real quick, Chad. I wish Joby was here because he would know the answer to this. Is what the ACC doing this year a one-off, or is it something that they plan to continue? I knew that they were doing it for the ACC network. I actually like it. A lot of coaches were sort of skeptical about it. Not all of them are on board. I heard Chris Mack interviewed saying that he'd rather not play conference games this early. I like it. Is this something that they are going to do in coming years, or is this just sort of a one-off, opening the season with conference games? Does anybody know? All right.
David. So I think it's actually to launch the ACC network. They did the same thing in football this year where they opened with some conference games. And I think it's an ACC network plug. So my best understanding is that it's a one-year only situation. But if it goes well, I think they'll bring it back.
Yeah. I can't imagine it not going well.
Matt, I've got the first five teams up there. I don't know that there's – well, let me ask you this. Is there any of those five – is anybody else that you think should be up there in the top five heading into the season? Because I think it's kind of the five best
how you start the season, what the season ends look like are two different things. I think there's a certain team in Gainesville, Florida that will be in this group at the end of the year.
Well, Matt, you just mentioned my number six overall team there. So let me ask you about the Gators.
I like that roster a lot, and I think you had some addition by some traction with Kevon Allen and Jalen Hudson out. And then the happy, you're bringing in a couple of McDonald's All-Americans and Trey Mann and Scotty Lewis. And plus, I think Kerry Blackshear is just what they need in the front court. Someone that can get it down to score. And also, he can run the floor. He can hit an outside jumper. And I think And while he might not necessarily be like a first-team All-American, I think he's just what they needed in that. I love that roster now.
Yeah, and Tytel, beyond that, my number seven team overall coming up here should be in the South region. How about the Ohio State Buckeyes?
That's high. Wow.
You think that's too high on that team?
I do. I'm just happy to see that we're finally getting some teams forced to go out of state after Duke gets to stay home for Greensboro and Florida State.
That's in the bylaws. That's in the bylaws.
No, Buckeyes are solid, but yes, I would say this is a little high, but I'm eager to hear what the rest of the panel thinks.
Well, Stalika, what do you think? The Buckeyes, you are in the state of Ohio, at least. You think I'm overrating them?
I'm in the state of Ohio, but I think we have to defer to our colleague Kyle Lamb to figure out if Ohio State is really going to be this high or not.
Actually hijacked the workbook here and put them that high. So,
yeah, right.
I probably have them around a 4 or 5 line myself.
Really?
Well, the one thing about Ohio State, and like they always seem to finish higher than what they're forecasted to, especially since I'm blanking the guy from Butler that coaches there.
Chris Holtman.
Yeah, Chris Holtman arrived. Thank you.
David, I have our defending national finalist Texas Tech as my number 8 overall team.
I find it curious that you don't have Virginia in yet, but I like this pick. I mean, I've liked Texas Tech the last 2 years preseason. I like them again this year, despite a substantial roster overhaul and the loss of a lot of key players. The one thing that they've shown us is that they're pretty good at next man up. Under Chris Beard. I remembered his name.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I like about this Texas Tech team is we thought they lost everything the year before and they made the national championship game, so you just can't bet against them.
You can't, and I think they'll be really strong by the time we get to March. My only complaint about putting them as a 2 seed is I think they have one of the worst non-conference schedules on paper, and they also, breaking in 11 newcomers, they might hit a couple bumps in the early part of the year.
Yeah, but they also play that Big 12 schedule. That's a stacked conference.
Yeah, and they do have some big games out of conference. Don't they play Louisville or Kentucky? Maybe it's Kentucky. Or maybe it's both.
It's both. It's both.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty good. Gee whiz. Yeah.
But are you suggesting a road game at DePaul is not going to challenge Texas Tech?
It will not.
It could, actually. That's a different subject.
Well, Matt, I got called out for not having the defending national champions yet. I did have them number 9 overall there in the South region, though.
Yeah, that's really – I had them as, like, why I did this informally about 20 minutes ago. I had them as my last 2 seed, so that's about the range we're hearing. Now, there's still – I think there's a couple of teams that not mentioned yet that I am really high on. Like, I think we might have the wrong Big 12 Texas-based team up on the 2 line.
Really? Yeah. You're that high on TCU, huh? I'm impressed by this.
Yeah, that's pretty wild that you're that big on TCU. And on that note, Tony Bennett, is his seat getting a little bit warm there in Virginia? Is this a make or break year for him?
Stalika, number 10 overall after Virginia. I've got coming in here at North Carolina there in the Midwest region.
Yeah, North Carolina is actually going to be missing out on Greensboro just because they finished slightly below Virginia as far as the S-curve. But by the same token, Tampa, not a bad consolation prize.
Right. Tytel, you think this is where Carolina belongs, or you think that maybe they're the team that should be in the 2 line instead of Ohio State?
I mean, this is the perfect spot for the ACC guy who's not with us. Heard – nothing but great stuff about Cole Anthony. If he lives up to the hype, I think this is squarely a good place for them. And they're lucky that they don't have to play Florida and Tampa, but have to wait till Indianapolis to face the Gators.
Yeah. Rocco, as we go through the 3 line here, my next team up was the Zags. You being a guy with some Washington ties, your thoughts on that team?
Yeah, I think they're actually going to be better than a lot of people expect. They've got a ton of depth. They got some unfortunate news with some incoming guys that won't be available this year. Ballo being one of them who just played in the U19. But, I mean, they're a really deep team. They're bringing in a guy that it was all state, a big-time player. Scored 28 points in their exhibition game, Anton Watson. So keep your eye on him. But I think they'll dominate like they have over the last several years. And I think they can get as high as the 2 line. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I really like the addition of Edmond Gilder as a grad transfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gonzaga, always good. I don't think they're Final Four good. I think they're merely Sweet 16, potentially Elite 8 good this year. Kind of a down year for the Zags based on how they've been the last 5 years. Chad, I have a question. I know the answer, but maybe our audience does it. Gonzaga located in Spokane. You have placed them in Spokane. What is up with that? How can that happen?
They're not the host for that reason.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yes. You're only barred if you are the host or if it's on your home court. The games are not on their home court, and they're not the host. Who's the host in Spokane? It might be Idaho.
It is Idaho.
Yeah.
So what you're
hosting
saying.
Hosting out of state.
Yeah. Idaho hosting out of state. And now Idaho, who lost their exhibition game by about 15
both
points.
Both of their exhibition games.
Both of them. Yeah. not eligible to play in Spokane if they make the NCAA tournament. So let's all just keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's going to come in a lot here. How about games at Albany? How about the Seton Hall Pirates? Matt, I got to go back to you. You're a Big East guy. What do you think we've had having Seton Hall there as our first mentioned Big East team?
Man, like, a lot of people see it. I don't. Now, like, at this point, they're the one Big East team I might be a touch biased against. But, man, like, last year they were okay. And I think, was it Ike Obiagu and Michael Edzi is going to probably be a roughly equal move, and otherwise they're basically the same roster of a team that was just okay. Like, I think they could be in the tournament. They'll probably be in the top 25. I don't see them as a protected seed.
And a little off the – well, I guess it's kind of semi-on-the-court news here, David, with with their head coach being suspended for their exhibition game in their first regular season game due to an investigation going on by the NCAA into him for some tampering to get Taurean Thompson to the team. It's a little ugly, yeah. I think.
Yeah, you know, really swung for the fences on that one.
Well, this is not college football. We don't suspend coaches for quarters here. We just suspend them for exhibitions and an opener on campus opener against Wagner.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I've always been a kind of a fan of Kevin Willard. I wouldn't if you were to ask me, is he the are there coaches more likely to do that than him? I would have thought so, but it appears that at least there's a suspicion that he did it. So, done a good job at Seton Hall. I never thought he got enough credit for what he's done there. He's his team and himself sort of fly under the radar, but he's done a spectacular job. Who else has he tampered with to get it done there?
Well, keep in mind, it was just 3 or 4 years ago that Willard was actually on the hot seat because – I guess Seton Hall had some of their own chemistry issues, and even after guys like Whitehead, Carrington, and Crew had graduated, they were still able to reload and somehow able to actually improve.
Well, I did have Seton Hall as my top Big East team, but number 13 overall, right behind them on the four line there in the South region. Rocco, I have the Villanova Wildcats. So I kind of think these are neck and neck teams right now.
Yeah, I like that pick. I'm pretty close to you on Villanova. I think I have them 12 overall. So I'm good with good selection here.
Okay. And Tytel, let me bring you back in here as we getting close to the end of our top 16 teams. I've got Maryland coming in on the four line. Do you like that pick?
I do. Losing Bruno Fernando is going to hurt them a lot in the middle. Bringing back every single buddy else on the roster is going to help a lot. I'm a little surprised we haven't seen more SEC teams, frankly, but I assume that those are coming up in the near future.
Yeah, and the fact that Maryland was sent out to Sacramento must mean that the other two teams are from the East.
I think we're still missing a Sacramento and a Spokane spot, actually. So everybody left of this line is going to the West Coast. It's
going far, far away.
Matt, I've got Baylor number going to Sacramento as well as 15 overall.
Yeah, that's the team I was referencing earlier. I am really high on that team. Mm-hmm. So I think they probably overachieved a touch last year, but remember, they get Tristan Clark back. And I think one of the transfer additions to watch out for, Maceo Teague, to give him some perimeter scoring. And I think Jared Butler takes a big step up in the sophomore year. I like that roster. I think Mario Kegley might be another addition by subtraction from what Big 12 folk at Chess are saying.
Yeah, Kegler. And
Kegler's out.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. I mean, I think they kind of did overachieve last year. They kind of really came on strong down the stretch to make the NCAA tournament. But I take that as a sign that they're going to be good this year. Season opener tomorrow, one of the first teams to tip. And I got to tell you, I really like their chances against Central Arkansas tomorrow.
Yeah, our first D1 versus D1 game of the season will be Central Arkansas and Baylor. So.
Yes, it'll be much like many of the exhibition games that we've been
David, we're getting all excited about it, and 5 minutes in, we're going to realize what
We're going to be wondering
when the 7 o'clock tomorrow night, we'll have some good basketball on at least. Salika, my last of my protected seeds, my number 16 team overall, I've got the Purdue Boilermakers.
Purdue, this one I probably, as the puppet say, would have more questions than answers when you consider some of the guys that are not going to be returning for Purdue. But I'd actually have a team in the Pacific Northwest that would be a good fit for Spokane, and that would be the Oregon Ducks.
So you would have Oregon. You would have a Pac-12 team in here, which I did not put a Pac-12 team in the top 16.
I would.
Rocco, you're a Pac-12 guy. Do you think a Pac-12 team makes the top four seed lots?
That's certainly not a lock, but I think there's a couple teams if they win the regular season crown and get to the conference tournament final at least, they should be able to get a protected seed. And I actually have Oregon slotted right around here, so I'm with Salika on this.
Well, Tytel, you mentioned you think I should have some more SEC teams up here. Is anyone else you think I'm glaringly missing in these top 16?
Not glaring. I mean, I know Tennessee lost a lot. I assume that's why they're not up here yet. Ditto Auburn. No, nothing glaring. But as long as we're doing Pac-12, I think that I've seen some glory days for the Pac-12. I think this is not going to be one of those years, and I would not be shocked if we do not have anybody in the top four seed lines.
I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't think we're going to see a year like we did last year where no one is even in the top half of the bracket. That was almost unheard of. Although it had happened once before.
Sadly.
Matt, what about your thoughts? Is anybody else that you think I may have missed?
Yeah, a lot of people mentioned Oregon. That's one I do have. I think I had right on my three or four line. And I'm just taking a look. And otherwise, the other team, it might – I'm youth of that, but I love their talent, and I actually think Penny can coach. I think I'd have Memphis somewhere in here, too.
That's one of the toughest teams for me to gauge because
you
got an unproven, really, coach at this point. You got a ton of talent, but it's all freshmen. They could be a three seed. They could be a 12 seed, and they could be in the NIT.
I kind of agree with that assessment. It wouldn't shock me, Matt, if they ended up as a three or a two or really high. I mean, they are really – talented, as you say, but I mean, we've seen talented teams not gel in the past.
Yeah, it sounds the reports are they seem to be gelling pretty well. Like I said, I think Loki Penny did a pretty good job last year. That was not a team that I projected to the NIT going into the year, and they were.
I agree. I was impressed with what he did. Yeah,
I mean, they got like four or five guys that played on Penny's AAU team, a couple of years ago. So these kids have played together, like coming into this year. It's not like a lot of random freshmen coming in. Also, they were seventh in the nation in pace last year, and Penny said in multiple interviews that he wants to crank that up. So I feel like there's just going to be a lot of games where they'll just get out and run, and the game will be over by halftime. But they'll get in some tough tests too. But I think that gets them a lot of wins.
Well. Let me reveal all four teams on my five line here. They are Oregon, who we mentioned, along with Auburn, who Tytel mentioned. I've also got VCU and Houston in here.
I'm surprised by one of them.
Okay, David?
Well, VCU, I didn't think – when I say I'm surprised, I'm not even saying I disagree with it. I just didn't think you liked them. You gave no indication of thinking much about them.
Sorry, I'll take them off then.
Yeah. But, no, I like this VCU team. I don't know if I see them this high in the bracket, but it's certainly within their capabilities, I think. I like this whole line. I like especially Houston and especially Oregon. I might actually have Oregon a little bit higher. But I'm big on this Houston team as well.
Well, what about this Houston team, though? Tytel, do you like them heading into the season here? Because we just mentioned Memphis. I've got them above them.
I think as of now it's a coin flip because, like you said, it's too early to tell what Memphis brings to the table with all their hotshot freshmen. The things that I'm not loving here are the fact that I'm loving the Sacramento region. I'm hating the fact that you got two Texas teams. If you want to see them, you got to fly west. And you got the Maryland VCU East Coast thing. You got to fly 3,000 miles west to see them. So why are you penalizing home team fans?
It's a bracketing problem. The teams that match up with these four seeds are normally end up heading west because we don't have enough teams above them in the bracket to fill out those west pods.
Well, even if the Texas teams were dominant this year, where would they go? Omaha?
Closer.
It's closer, yeah. But Omaha, we're sending Kansas to Omaha, and we're sending Texas. We are sending Texas Tech to Omaha. So,
right.
The sixth line also here, Rocco. Let me bring you back in here. My four teams here: LSU, Wisconsin, Xavier, Utah State.
Oh, for wow.
Yeah, this is, things are getting a little quirky here.
Okay, go ahead. This is where I'm ready to get stuck in, torn apart. Because
I like LSU and Xavier here. I mean, I think Xavier, I'm like borderline 6-7. LSU, I think 6 is right where they're at on mine. Wisconsin, I think there's just a little bit of risk, but, you know, their ceiling might be a 6, so let's just say things go well and they get there. But Utah State's kind of where I have my bigger problem. They've got a great team coming back. I just don't think they'll have a lot of opportunities in the non-league and too many landmines in the Mountain West to ruin their resume. Also, some bad news earlier today where their big man, Queta, he's going to be out indefinitely. And these are the most critical 8 weeks of the resume building process. So without him for the first couple of weeks and beyond could really, put them in a more of a bubble situation.
Yeah, I know that they're going to have a lot of chances this year, but we are going to learn a lot about Wisconsin tomorrow. A really good game, intriguing game, playing St. Mary's in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
At the Samford Pentagon.
Yeah, because like when you want a big game, when you want a big atmosphere, you got to go to South Dakota. It's where big things happen.
They should have done a quadruple header. I'm a little disappointed.
Yes.
Matt, what are your thoughts on this? Put aside that got torn apart already for Utah State. Well, what about Xavier in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's about where I think Xavier is about 7, so it's about there.
Yeah.
LSU, that's where they could be anything this year. They could be right around the protected seat or the bottom falls out with the NCAA stuff and this group of guys doesn't mix. I think they're going to miss Tremont Waters more than people anticipate. He was really, I think, the guy that had them going in. I'm not sure if either Javante Smart or Skylar Mays are guys you want with the ball in their hands all the time. I think both are nice players, Mays particularly, at least at the college level, but a little unsure how the whole situation works. And then Wisconsin also too like that. I think this is best case scenario where, hey, they probably were running too much through Ethan Happ last year. Everything coalesced is better without forcing it. I can also see going totally the other way in there, maybe even sub-NIT if, well, this is the reason why you're giving Ethan Happ 30% of your possessions. You need to do. So, like, I probably fell right in between where I have him right either on the border of in or out of the tournament. But I think 6, you really must believe in Nathan Reavers and Brad Davison.
I'll tell you what, Sleeka, let me show you my 7 line here. 4 more teams coming up. NC State, Kansas State, Memphis, who we mentioned already, and Georgetown here on the 7
line. Ooh, Georgetown. Wow.
Tytel's slapping his head, but go ahead.
I'm guessing I'll really get serious when we're talking about Georgetown finally having arrived in the Big East podcast, and even to a lesser extent, NC State. I mean, I give a little credit to the Wolfpack for slightly upgrading their non-conference schedule, but then again, is it really that hard to upgrade from, what was it, 341 out of 353 last year?
Well, I can show you their blind resume here if you'd like.
Yes, we got the blind. I would have credited NC State had they managed to not upgrade it, because that would have been exceedingly difficult to do. One of the worst, I mean, just an atrocious schedule. I'll tell you what, Chad, I know that not many people are with you on this. I like K-State quite a bit. I think this is about I like that you put them here. I think they're going to be a lot better than what a lot of people are picking them. I think they're going to be home court heroes. They might steal some wins on the road. And in that league, if they get to 10-8, 11-7, that's pretty 7-ish, don't you think?
That's why I have them. But Tytel, you slapped your head. I got to let you have a chance to take your shot at this
line. Big head, so it got a big slap because I really can't see Georgetown as a 7th seed. Okay. The good news is after years of horrific scheduling, and I say that in all honesty, because I was there, to have non-conference teams like Penn State, Texas, Oklahoma State, SMU, and Syracuse, certainly not a murderer's row, but those are 5 top 100 teams. If they go 4-1 against those teams, then I'm loving this pick, but I just don't see it yet. I mean, the backcourt's great with Akinjo and McClung. The front court is young but big, and if they play to their potential, it's possible. I'm just not believing it in November.
All right, well, we'll see how it plays out, but Matt, let me show you my 8 line, which is showing up
there. How come only Matt gets to see it?
Well, everyone else can take a look at it. Cincinnati, Florida State, Colorado, and Mississippi State.
Yeah, so I think Colorado is like, I like that pick here. I like Florida State. This is actually, I think I like this line probably better than I've liked the last.
All right, I just saw the right.
I think Mississippi State. That's one I really think Reggie Perry might be, if SEC Player of the Year, at least he would in a normal year, if not for Florida and Kentucky being so loaded. I like that. Like, him coming back is huge for them. And I think I'm going to trust Nick Weatherspoon putting it together his junior year. Even with his brother gone, it might just go the other way without the positive Weatherspoon influence gone. But I like that talent there. And, yeah, Florida State, this is, I think I might have even had them a couple lines higher. But, yeah, he's got a machine going right now, Laird Hamilton. And I think another one like Scott Drew, he got crapped on it for his coaching a lot of times, but I think he's really found something that works with playing a lot of guys, pressure defense. Yeah, and I think he's recruited a little more shooting over the years.
Rocco, I've got half the bracket revealed. Is there anybody that you are looking at me and say, where the hell are they? Why haven't you brought them up yet?
Let me just do a double gander real quick. I mean, the ones that I've kind of taken a shot at on mine, I don't have enough to back it up. So I won't call anything out on that end, but I will say there's a couple teams already up that I don't even have in.
thank you.
So that would be Mississippi State. That's more me having a gut feeling. They definitely have the talent to get there. Kansas State, if they get there, it's going to all have to be on the defensive end. I just don't think they have enough scoring to do it. But somebody from – I'm going to look at that as a Big 12 pit placeholder from 4 through 10. Whoever emerges in fourth, I think they end up on the 7 line. So if you're saying that's Kansas State, I'm okay with it.
Speaking of Big 12, Puppet, don't we have a bit of a conflict in the South region?
Do we?
Kansas and Colorado, two teams in the same conference, David.
I hate all of you.
David.
I mean, it was 3 years ago. Do you have to keep bringing this up where I forgot David, that Colorado was
our 8-9 matchups are my proposed 8-9 matchups showing up now. My 9 seed's coming on the screen. Oklahoma, Providence, St. Mary's, and here's a under the radar team.
Yeah, I was wondering who the top under the radar school would be and when we'd see them. This is not what I would have guessed.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think New Mexico State is, I like them a lot better than Harvard. I think they're going to have an extremely bloated record.
And you're wrong, but
wrong. You're wrong. Well, remember, I mean, you've been high on Harvard before.
You've got some Ivy League ties. This Harvard team, they've disappointed the last few years, but if this team stays healthy, I think they got a ton of talent.
They do. Bryce Aiken is arguably the player of the year, and they bring back Lewis and Towns, who are both player of the year caliber guys. Amaker is becoming a guy who gets top 100 guys, even though he coaches at a school like Harvard. It probably is a slam dunk that they're going to win the Ivy League. I can't in good conscience say they won't. I don't know if they could do much in the tournament, but Amaker showed for the past several years have been other schools. But before that, I think he had a run where he made 5 tourneys in a row and won a first-round game at least 3 or 4 of those times. So he's a coach where if you give him a few days to prepare against a team that might be looking ahead, he can get an upset in the tournament.
Yeah, he certainly.
Salika's thoughts on Michigan State playing Cincy in Cleveland. What's the home crowd going to think about that one?
Yes, Salika, what about that? And what about and how about Oklahoma there also, Salika?
Well, this is going to be one of those matchups. I'd be curious to see if Cincinnati does get past Oklahoma. Could this be the year that the Bearcats were finally to break through? But actually, the one team I'd be curious on, I'd have to do some research on this. I think the last time we've had a single-digit Ivy League school was Princeton back in 98 when they were a 5 seed, beat UNLV, and lost to Michigan State in the second round.
I forget what Penn was when they were ranked in the top 20.
Rocco, St. Mary's on this line also. Your thoughts on the Gales team, which I think is looking pretty good, and actually put together a schedule this year for the first time in forever.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. We don't really have any data to go back and look at because they've always had terrible non-conference schedules. So I'm glad the Gales are stepping up. I'm here close to the program. And, you know, they got a great team on paper. Guys are drooling. A lot of the experts are drooling about how Fitz has looked in practice. Obviously, everybody knows about Jordan Ford. Sky's the limit, especially if they get some of these big non-conference wins. I do think they'll slip up a few times in the WCC, so I've kind of softened my stance as far as their seed, but I think somewhere in the 8 to 11 range is realistic.
All right. Matt, the 10 seeds, I'm going to throw the 4 of them up on the screen here also here in about half a second. I got Iowa State, who we mentioned earlier, along with Davidson, who looked absolutely awful in an exhibition today. Illinois and Rocco's team, Washington. Your thoughts on those four?
Yeah, that's – well, I have three of the teams in. I don't actually have Iowa State. I don't know why. This had two guys enter the transfer portal today, and I'm just – that's a team I have. Like, say, like Rocco has with Mississippi State, I've got a bad feel. I do like the other teams, and I even have – I think I have Illinois and Washington actually a couple of seeds higher. I have Illinois like the 7-8 range. I think Washington, same thing, right about a 7 or an 8.
A lot of people like Illinois. They, I mean, again, the consensus is usually right. I am not seeing it at all.
Like, I think they're playing well down the stretch, and I think Kofi Cotter, I think it's actually Kofi Coburn, even though there is a CK between the O and the B. It is, I think he says Kofi Coburn. I think he adds some key rim protection for them for that. When you're playing a pressure system, you need to have rim protection to where if they get by you, you still got another layer of defense, and I think he'll help on that end. I don't know how, because he's still a little out of shape. He might only play like 20 minutes a night, but that's still, that'll be a key thing I think they were missing. So they'll take them from where normal progression says maybe 18 wins. I think he gives them a couple more and gets them in the tourney.
Tytel, you want your thoughts on these four teams?
Pretty good. I think that Florida will have a cakewalk in Tampa. I think Duke will have a cakewalk in Greensboro, though I'd like to see if Davidson pulls the upset, what kind of hometown cooking that would be. I'm telling you, if these Memphis guys are for real, then I think they have a good shot of making the Sweet 16. Yeah. And the John Rocco Georgetown Washington game, I will give the give you the Huskies the win in advance because I don't see us beating the freshman studs that you have coming in.
Oh, Rocco, you want to comment on your team here?
Well, of course, you know, just over the weekend, got great news. Quade Green is eligible immediately. He is the key piece that the team needed. We didn't have a proven point guard. I know he played a year and a half at Kentucky, but he's going to fit right in perfectly. He's been practicing with them. So I think that really gives the Huskies an extra edge and gets them maybe closer to the 6 or 7 line for projections. But no true road games on the non-conference schedule makes me a little concerned. There are three good neutral games against Baylor next week and then Tennessee later, and also Gonzaga will be a home game, plus the Diamond Head Classic in Hawaii where they could theoretically face Houston in the final. But I think I think resume-wise, you know, 6 or 7 is realistic.
All right. Well, let's Sleek, I'm going to bring up the 11 seeds, which will include three of the 11 seeds I'm going to bring up so far, including Xavier's opponent. I have not actually given you my SoCon champion here, East Tennessee State, a team I'm very high on, along with Notre Dame and Minnesota coming in on this line.
We saw this horror movie 2 years ago.
Yes, we did.
I alluded to this during the Under the Radar preview where Xavier fell behind by 22, but since they were at home, they were able to come back and beat the Bucks. But let's address the other elephant in the room. Minnesota and Washington need to switch places. I'm sorry, Rocco, you know where I'm going with this.
Well, that would create a first round rematch from last year, which I don't think is allowed.
That is a soft rule. That is not a hard rule.
Yeah. Oh, that would be yeah.
Okay, if it's a soft rule, let's count it.
The Notre Dame team, Matt. I know that I mean, some people like them, some people don't. I'm kind of just barely putting them in the field here.
Yeah, that's like they're a team I was debating. I did have them in. I would actually have a different ACC team from Coral Gables in for like right around this area.
What?
Yes.
Gables. Miami?
Miami. Yes, let's talk about Miami. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, David. I'm going to skip that last 11 seed for now. Because of some bracketing problems, I actually had to move one of the first four games up from the 12 line to the 11 line. I have two more teams that actually were inside of the first four, though. They're on the 12 line, though. So let me start by showing those. Creighton and my A-Sun champion here, Liberty.
But
Creighton is the at-large pick here, obviously.
Okay, Creighton is the at-large team, but Liberty is an auto bid, but inside the bubble,
right?
Is what you're saying. Okay.
Barely.
Barely, so right on it. Liberty was a 27-28 win team a year ago, made the round of 32, all four starters back. This Liberty team is really good, so it is – not ridiculous at all to think that they could land inside the bubble. I think 12 is about right. I think that's about where they're going to be. I don't know what to make of Creighton yet. I mean, it certainly isn't a ridiculous pick, but
I'll tell you what, I'm going to show the reason why I skipped the 11 seed is because for reasons you're about to see why I had to move this due to the fact that they can't play on Sunday. I did have BYU in the first four games and Tytel playing your Arizona team there.
I think I would have to give the edge to BYU. Arizona, like, I love them, and they just have off-court stuff, and they had a player coming back who was injured now for the year. They also have a couple of hotshot freshmen like the Huskies, so, I mean, they could win the Pac-12. I don't think they will. I think this looks like a good pick.
And Matt, my final two teams that made my field here should be showing up here in the Midwest region, also in the 12 line. Tennessee, who we've mentioned a few times, who I'm not that high on as some of the others, and Dayton getting to play again at home in Dayton in the first four.
Yeah, I think Dayton's going to be a turn. Actually, I like Dayton probably more than Tennessee of them, mm-hmm. of the two. I think, yeah, they returned a lot from a team that was quietly, I think, was like about top 60 team in the metrics. I think Anthony Grant isn't a half bad coach. So yeah,
like, he's not. I like this Dayton team. I like that you have them in, Chad. I actually think they're going to be inside the first four. I think this Dayton team.
Yeah, I think like it's like a 10 seed or so.
Yeah. I know that they're sort of a dark horse pick. I don't really think anyone's picking them in, but they're good. I think they're going to be pretty good this year.
David, just going to quickly reveal the last of the teams on the 12 line here. This was below the first four. The top team below the first four is that New Mexico State team you already mentioned.
Yeah,
I don't like them as much as you do, but they are.
I like them a lot. I like them a lot.
But I want to do is talk about, before we go into the auto bids on the last three lines here, talk about teams that, or the last four lines, I guess, talk about teams that did not make the field. I'm going to show my top four teams out to start, and then we can go over some other teams that you guys may be looking at that I left out. My top four teams out, though, were Rocco, were Michigan, Ole Miss, Wichita State, and Marquette. Matt's team there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree that Ole Miss, I mean, was a big omission. I think I covered it on the SEC show that I'm
you're a lot
high
higher than I am, yes.
Yeah, I love the guards, Tyree and Shuler. They got some great bigs to surround them with now. I think Kermit's got them in year two. Also from the SEC, I really like what I'm seeing from Alabama. Nate Oates comes in. He's got a lot of talent to work with. I think they're going to exceed expectations. I've got them also on the 7 line, as well as Huggy Bear in the West Virginia. Those are three teams that I have as 7 seeds that are not on here.
Well, I like West Virginia a lot.
Well, here's 8 more teams I did consider. I looked at Arizona State, Syracuse, Oklahoma State, Iowa, South Florida, who had some bad news today, losing their best player for the season, USC, Furman, and New Mexico.
West Virginia.
I'm not high on this West Virginia team at all, but I want to kind of run through each of you here. Tell me other teams that any of these teams that you think I should have had in there, or any other teams I didn't even put on the board here that you're really looking at. Rocky just gave us some, but Matt, what about you?
Yeah, I'm shocked we haven't seen it all. It's Texas.
You know, I think
they returned a decent, low-key returned a decent amount. And then I think they've got, like, guys better fit. I think Shaka, he'll find something this year. Actually, I had Texas like a 5 or 6.
I've lost faith in Shaka. That's why. I just think he hasn't got it done.
I agree with Matt. Texas barely missed it last year, and they won some big games. I mean, I think that they were certainly tournament caliber, even though that they just – their ceiling was certainly tournament caliber. I mean, they beat North Carolina. They won a lot of big games and almost got in. And I think that they're going to be better this year.
Texas had some quality wins, but if you remember last year, the quantity of losses was just too much to overcome.
Yeah, because what were they? They ended up with, was it 15 or 16 losses?
I think it was 16.
Yeah.
David, let me look at their blind resume.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, was that them on the left or the right, Chad?
Both.
Okay.
But Tytel, what about you? Any other teams that you're looking at here that I just did not put in?
Not glaring. I mean, I would keep an eye on Penn State only because, like, they have so much coming back in terms of Lamar Stevens, Mike Watkins, John Harar, and I like Pat Chambers. But nothing glaring. I think you got all of the heavy favorites.
Okay. David, anyone else from you?
I kind of agree with Tytel. Nothing really glaring, and it's impossible to say. You'll get between a half and two thirds of these right, and probably closer to two thirds. There's teams that aren't even receiving votes now that will end the season in the top half of the bracket. It happens every year. Everyone sort of starts out at zero, but I think that this is a pretty good guess for now. Yeah, that's part of the fun.
Sleeka, did I ask you this question?
No, you have not, okay. But I will go on record and say, I don't think that I can remember in his career that Greg Marshall has ever gone back-to-back seasons and not made the NCAA tournament. He's not going to have the star power like Marcus McDuffie at his disposal, but he will have like a bunch of, I think it's seven sophomores that are going to be part of a Wichita State's group this year, but they will be a year older and a year wiser. Wouldn't surprise me to see them and possibly Arizona State sneak into the first four for the third straight year.
They're right there on my list. I had them in my top five out at least. Let's take a look at the rest of the bracket though, a little bit quicker here though. But David, let me start with you on the 13 line where I've got Northern Iowa, Western Kentucky, Vermont, and Colgate.
Yeah, like this Northern Iowa team, I didn't think anybody else would because they've been so inconsistent. I'm a big fan of Ben Jacobson. I think he does a really good job there. They're my pick to win the Valley. I guess they're yours as well. Western Kentucky, I guess you got them out of Conference USA. Super talented team that if they could just hold it together, could end up inside the bubble. That's how talented they are, but they have a tendency to lose to crap teams that they shouldn't lose to. Vermont, everybody's big on Vermont. I know Rocco is super big on Vermont. They lost a lot of pieces last year. While I think they'll be the best team in the America East, Rocco, you got them around the bubble or even inside of it, don't you?
Yeah, I don't have them inside the bubble, but I do like them the most out of the, you know, under the radar conferences. I just think Anthony Lamb, he's been around forever. They got a great supporting cast. They got a couple guys from high majors to transfer there this year that are immediately eligible. It's a stacked deck for Vermont, and they could run the table in their league. So if they get a couple big wins in non-conference, they could easily get inside, I think.
Well, yeah. Rocco, let me stick with you here. Show you the 14 line coming up here. We've got Bowling Green out of the Mid-American.
You like Colgate. Great state. Crap, you like Colgate.
I got UCSB, who's my pick over Irvine in the Big West, and also Charleston, my Colonial pick.
I like these overall. I got Charleston, Wright State, Bowling Green in my field as well. I have UC Santa Barbara winning the regular season but losing in the conference tournament, so very easily could end up right here. So this is pretty much full agreement on my half.
All right. And Stalika, I'll show you the 15 line here. Your comments on Iona, Tim Kloos back in the tournament. South Alabama, my pick out of the Sun Belt. Murray State out of the OVC and North Dakota State out of the Summit League.
Well, my first comment would be cue the summer of 69 for Bowling Green if they end up getting in.
Yes.
By the same token.
Yes, haven't been in since then. Yep.
I could see Iona being somewhat of a dangerous 15 for Florida, but that's one they should get by without too much trouble.
And Matt, I'll finish off the field with you. The six teams here on the 16 line. Stephen F. Austin, St. Francis, PA, Grambling, North Carolina Central, Weber State, and Radford.
Yeah, so the one interesting I saw we were going through 13 through 16.
Yeah.
It's bad to see like a non-Bucknell Patriot team up on the 13 line.
I'm very high on this Colgate team. I don't know.
I
don't quite remember why I put them on the 13 line over some of these other teams, but obviously was a reason when I did it. So
I'm not seeing a Patriot team going over to like a MAC team.
Yeah.
If that just like go, I mean, that's just, I guess, historical precedent by the committee, like, unless like Colgate's like 27-7 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you. That I could easily see moving them to the 14 line and probably any of those 14 teams being up there. Like I said, I did that push the bracket like the end of last week. And quite honestly, I don't remember what my thinking was on that one. I guess on that note, let me run through each of you for any other thoughts on this bracket that we see here before we get to final four picks. Tytel, let me start with you. Any other thoughts on the entirety of this bracket here?
So the region that intrigues me the most is the South, not because I am convinced that any one of those top four are going to make the final four. I think so. But just to have a bunch of championship coaches and Bill Self, Jay Wright, and now Tony Bennett is just fantastic. I think that looks like the strongest region coaching-wise.
And Holtman's a hell of a coach, too.
Yeah. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, interesting. Like a couple of my sleepers will see it here. I don't want to necessarily see Baylor and Florida in the same region, but as I'm alluding to something a little bit later here.
Brocco, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I can't stop staring at the Midwest region where you have actually three of my number one seeds all in the Midwest. That's that would be Michigan State, North Carolina, and Florida. So wow. that looks really loaded to me.
Yeah, I think I was looking at that as the most loaded region also when I kind of looked at it afterwards. Asleka.
I'm looking at teams like New Mexico State and Liberty to possibly be potential Sweet 16 teams based on the draws that you've provided right here.
Yeah, I think any team that would see Auburn as a five this year, you didn't want to necessarily see that last year come tournament time. You'd want to see them as a five line this year, I think.
David.
I noticed this year you didn't really do anything unconventional. You didn't pick some insane team to get into the tournament. Like, I always thought you just there was always one or two that you tried to pick from the fringe to get them in. I think you had SMU in there one year or –
I had Auburn in for several years in a row.
Yeah,
before they got
for several
good,
years in a row, it was Auburn. But I got to say that I'm kind of impressed with it. I think that a lot of the teams that you put in that I didn't think you were going to put some of them in, but I'm big on some of them. I'm not as big on Minnesota, but it makes sense to pick them. They always seem to do better than what we think.
Yeah, well – Well, okay, again, they always do opposite of expectation, but I guess the expectation's down, so it might be.
Right.
But I will say there was one mild surprise, and that was seeing Arizona and BYU in the first four. Because keep in mind, we haven't had to deal with the BYU nightmare in this scenario since 2015.
Yeah, it's been glorious.
Which, ironically enough, Xavier did benefit from this. Yeah. I am cognizant of that.
Again, that's why that first four game is – on the 11 line, while Creighton, who's an at-large bid, is on the 12 line because it was impossible to put BYU in a region that did not have to play a Sunday game without moving them to the 11 line.
I think they made a significant upgrade in coach of the offseason, so I think you're going to be seeing BYU maybe this year and definitely in future years in that conversation.
I'll tell you what, now that's down, though, I want to go, not based on that bracket, but just based on each of your own personal thoughts here as we end up our preseason podcast, and tell me, who do you think the Final Four is going to be this year at the end of the day? And who do you think the national champion is going to be? Mr. Stalika, let me start with you. Who are the Final Four at the end of the day? Who's going to win it all?
I'll say my first two Final Four teams right off the bat are going to be Michigan State and Louisville. I think one team that could end up getting a good draw will be Gonzaga. And one team I'll take that's going to be a bit of a reach, and that's going to be the Oregon Ducks. This team did have a lot of momentum build up towards the end of last year.
Yeah, they did.
I could easily see them building upon that foundation.
And cutting down the nets?
Cutting down the nets. I'll take Michigan State for the first time since 2000.
All right. Rocco, how about you?
Yeah, so I jotted these down earlier, and I was so disgusted with the all the power schools I had in there. I had to shake it up a little bit. So I landed with Ohio State upsetting Kansas in my top half, and then down below, Florida holding serve and getting to the Final Four, as well as North Carolina and Kentucky coming out of the region with Michigan State.
You have a different Final Four than Stalika, by the way, but go ahead.
Yeah, so Ohio State, Florida, UNC, and Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then I will take Kentucky to cut down the nets over Ohio State in the final.
Kentucky to win it all. Tytel.
I hate these exercises because they can go so horribly wrong. It's hard to pick against the Spartans. I got to see them win – beat Duke in the Elite Eight in person last year. And if Langford is hurt, that is a big wrench, but they did it without him last year. So let's get the Spartans in there. We got to get an ACC team. I'm not a believer in Louisville. Obviously, everybody else is, so I'm in the minority on that one. All the other teams lost. I think Virginia lost too much. So from the Blue Bloods, I'll flip a coin and take Carolina, but it could obviously easily beat Duke. I do like Kentucky. They're young, but they're so talented, and Calipari has the formula in place. As far as a fourth, I don't think I can do a huge reach. I think Florida is certainly in play. I'll do a little reach with Maryland just because I know they lost Fernando, and I don't believe in Mark Turgeon in March, but they got a deep, deep roster coming back. If I had to pick a winner of all those. I could, it's tough. I will go with Kentucky just because a little Wildcat pride, but they could also like lose in the round of 32. So it's all somewhat academic at this point.
Matt, how about you?
All right, so I'm definitely going to touch off the border, but not as much as when we talk here. I have got Florida, I got Kentucky, and then I have Baylor. And then the fourth one I was looking, because I don't love the chalk this year up at the top of the polls. So I'm going to go, I'm going with a proven coach here, and I think he's going to get the team come March. I'm going to say Villanova.
Villanova in the Final Four. And who cuts down the nets there?
I'm saying you can see a chopping, the Gators.
The Florida Gators. All right. Let me throw mine out, Dave, before I go to you. Okay. I'm going to probably the most blue blood of all of us here. The most. I like Michigan State a lot. They're my Final Four. I like this Louisville team, as we mentioned. That's why they were on my one line. I agree with a couple of you have mentioned Carolina. I like them a lot this year. And I like Kansas. And, in fact, I think I'm the only one that's putting Kansas in my Final Four. And I'm picking Kansas to win the whole darn thing this year. So,
wow.
That's my pick. I think they kind of get together here, assuming the NCAA doesn't knock them out. I think the team comes together behind a very good head coach and finds a way to put all the distractions aside and win it all. David, your thoughts?
I've got, you know, it seems like the Final Four, there's always one or two sort of long shots or dark horses. I'll name my dark horse last. Michigan State, I like them a lot. I like Louisville for all the reasons we mentioned. I'll say this about Louisville. I don't think they're going to hit the ground at their ceiling. I think they're going to have to play up to it. We might see them lose, games in November and December. But by the time they get to February, I really, really think they're going to be rolling and playing well at the end of the year, similar to what we saw out of Purdue last year that just, you know, they lost games but at the latter part of the year, they were playing their best basketball. I could see that at Kentucky because Kentucky's another team that always seems – to lose early on, and then people have questions about them. Are they really as good as we thought? And then by the end of the year, they're playing at the top of their ceiling. And my fourth team, and it might be weird to say that a runner-up from a year ago is a dark horse to make the Final Four, but I'm going to go with Texas Tech to get back.
All right. And to cut down the nets?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. Well, interesting. There are, seven of us here. We have 13 different teams in the Final Four. So it's pretty wide open here is what I'm kind of hearing. And I'm pretty certain here, just double check my notes, none of us put Duke in the Final Four, who's in the top four teams of the nation right now. So that just kind of shows you how wide open things are heading into the season.
It is. You look at those resumes right now. I mean, it is so close.
I'm not going to go back to the blind resume. What I can do is give each of you a couple seconds here for any other final thoughts as we head into the season. We are down to about 14 hours left until the season begins. So let me run through each of you real quick here. Matt, let me start with you.
Yeah, the one team everyone likes, I see why, is Michigan State. But, for some reason, it doesn't feel like they ever thrive when they're in the position of being the hunted and not the hunter. And I think it's a good roster, but it doesn't feel like a number one of the nation roster to me, especially without Josh Langford, who's probably the second most talented player next to Winston. And then, Xavier Tillman's become a really good college player. And also, I think they're lacking shooting a little bit. I think they're really going to miss Matt McQuaid. I think he helped them spread the floor, and even to a lesser extent, Kenny Goins did at the four. And so I think teams can maybe bog down on them a little bit. And they're not real big either, especially without Nick Ward. So I think they're going to probably sneak in the way to a one or two seed. But I can also see an early exit, like the Middle Tennessee State year.
All right. Rocco.
Just another team or two that we didn't discuss that could find their way into the tournament. And they've been crawling up my board all kind of off season. The first one's Missouri, who almost made it into my field, which is just a team that I've been hearing a lot about in SEC circles that looks really, really strong with Drew Smith coming over from Evansville and sitting out last year. He was an all-Missouri Valley player. Tillman's been there 3 years. They have a great crop of freshmen. So they might have a nice mixture. I feel like between Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, Missouri, maybe Arkansas, out of a big chunk of SEC teams, there's going to be a couple that really emerge, and that's another one to watch out for. Beyond them, I know you listed Iowa on your others to watch. Bohannon is going to give it a go and play right away. We'll see if he can stay healthy. If he does, I think they instantly kind of get penciled in as a tournament team, but there's no way to know how he's going to hold up. So yeah, for now, they're out.
That's why I had Iowa right there, because if he does hold up, I think they easily move up, but if he doesn't, they're nowhere near.
Yeah, so the upside's big there. Yep.
Stalica.
20-game conference schedule. I mean, we're going to see it this year with the Big Ten and the ACC. We'll see it next year with the Big East, thanks to UConn joining the conference. And I think we're also going to see it in the Mountain West as well. But Rocco tipped us off to this. The only reason we're not seeing a 20-game conference schedule out of the Mountain West this year is because they are going to be playing their conference tournament a week early in the Thomas and Mack Center. Now, would you care to explain why they are playing a week early?
This is just a fantastic – I'm glad we're talking about this on the first show.
Well, I don't have the full name in front of me. If somebody has it, feel free to step in. But let's just say there's a giant construction trade show that took precedent in the Thomas and Mack Center the week of typical Mountain West Madness, and now it's moved up a week early. So pretty amazing.
A farm equipment trade show. Construction. My bad.
Let me just follow up on the 20-game schedule. We're also starting to see a lot of the smaller conferences pick up the 20-game schedule. I think Metro Atlantic, the Sun Belt this year, the Big Sky, one or two others. I think the Southland. A lot of these conferences are starting to go to 20 games as a way maybe to counteract the fact that they're not going to be able to get the games against the big guys because of there's less available non-conference games. So, Tytel, let me head over to you.
I would like to welcome the Merrimack Warriors to Division I as they prepare to open up in Bangor, Maine on Wednesday night against the Black Bears. Somehow, KenPom has them favored by a point to
beat Maine
on the road.
Yes!
In their very first Division I game.
Yeah!
Oh. I don't know if they can get it done, but I wish Coach Joe Gallo all the luck in the world because he's going to need it.
We need Lee Del Vecchio here to give us 20 minutes on Maine basketball. But, David, let me let you finish up the show.
That just blew my final thought. I don't even remember what it is, but I was going through that, writing it up. You'll see it later. Is this a winnable game for Merrimack? It's not their season opener. It is their division. It's the opening of their Division I existence. Can they go to Maine and win? What was I going to say before Tytel mentioned that? I don't know. It must not have been that important. Everything's kind of starting out at zero. And I know if you watch basketball, if you watch this show, you must watch a lot of basketball. So this isn't really news, but I'm going to say it anyway. What happens tomorrow night is very important. The committee looks at it all. So it isn't that November doesn't matter. It isn't that, like, basketball isn't important until later the year. It's important all year long, including tomorrow. So I'm just kind of excited that it's all getting started. And we do the mock committee. We'll be talking about games that are played tomorrow in March.
Yeah, we will. We'll be talking, especially with this huge doubleheader tomorrow night, top four teams in the nation. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us, not only for today's podcast, but for all our preseason content. You can click the button up there to check out any of the podcasts or any of the articles that you missed, all of Tytel's great interviews, the write-ups that David did. But on behalf of John Tytel, David Griggs, John Stalica, Matt Sikowski, Rocco Miller, you can also check him out at bracketeer.org. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with our regular season podcast starting, I believe, later on this week. And enjoy the games, everybody. Have a good night.